But perhaps just for a few minutes, we could turn to God's Word. And I'd like to read a few well-known verses from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. And I'll just read initially, although we'll be sort of jumping around in Genesis a little bit. But Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. Says this, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Let's just pray a minute as we come to God's Word. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be together as your people. We thank you for the freedom in this land that we have to meet. And Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. And so even in these few minutes, Lord, as we meditate, may we above all hear you speaking to us to discern what the Spirit is saying to his church. May we have attentive ears and a willingness to respond as you lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Genesis, as you know, is a book of beginnings. The name means in the beginning. And if you read Genesis 1 to 11, it will explain to you everything that is wrong with our world and why. It's not a scientific textbook, but it does give the roots of all that is wrong in our world as we know it. And you know, when we come to Genesis chapter 12, in many ways it's a beginning, although it's in this land, as it were, or on the earth, of God's rescue plan. As he calls, first of all, the man Abraham. It's a little bit Spartan in details. I don't know if you ever read the Bible. Like, oh, I'd love to know a little bit more there. We're just suddenly told about the Lord said to Abraham. It's like, who's this? We start to find out a little bit. But what we see is as God calls first of Abraham and then on to his family and to others, one of the things that's very clear in this calling is first of all the concern of God for all the families, all the peoples of the earth. And it's important to remember that even as God chose an individual, which then became an individual nation, it was never for the exclusive privilege of that individual or those people, but always with a view to blessing the nations. And what we also see in these just first few verses is this theme of blessing and this idea that we need God's blessing. We need God's equipping in order to fulfill his calling on our lives. And so as God calls Abraham, and there's lots of episodes in his life, and as we follow through the narrative in Genesis, this passes on to Abraham's descendants, to Isaac. In chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, we read this, God speaking to Isaac, "Abraham's son, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And that passes on to Abraham, through Isaac, to his descendants, and even down through history. Even down through history, Paul, centuries later, when he wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 3:14, talking to them about the blessing, and he says, "So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So I know I'm going very quickly, but that's in the whole sweep of history. Even in Paul's day, he was saying to churches there, it's the blessing of Abraham is yours in Christ Jesus, but not just so you can enjoy it and you know, feel privileged, for the Gentiles, the nations. And we see this sweep right through Scripture and this link between blessing and calling and between receiving God's blessing and then imparting and sharing God's blessing. The church or the believer of Jesus Christ is never called to just receive and enjoy and benefit from God's blessing. It is an equipping to be shared. Now perhaps, because these are big, big topics, it can be helpful sometimes just to maybe see through one individual. And I'd like to see how this kind of plays out a little bit in the life of Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Because again, the promise came through the sort of generations. And Jacob, when he was in the womb, God told his mother, Rebekah, because he was obviously a twin, as many of us know. And we're told in Genesis 25, two nations are in your womb, two peoples from within you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other, but the older shall serve the younger. So we see from birth, and again, I know I'm going very quickly, but I really encourage you to read the story of Jacob. It's a hard story to read at times. Doesn't come across as the nicest of individuals. And one of the things you see as Jacob gets older, there's certainly this competition between him and his brother. And you almost get the sense that Jacob spending a lot of his life trying to be Esau. There certainly seems to be identity problems. And one of the things that, as he comes on, two problems which sort of seem to occur in his life, this loss of identity, but also this impatience and this almost sense that, well, I've got to give God a hand in fulfilling, you know, getting his blessing in my life. When we come to I would call it an infamous episode, which many of us will know, we learn about it in Sunday school, when Jacob steals his brother's blessing. And it's just really that little episode that I think can help us to understand, because the problem as I see it is this, that because Jacob was always comparing himself to Esau, both encouraged by Rebekah, his mother, almost sense, oh, we've got to give God a hand here. So Esau's going out to hunt, quick, I'll prepare some food so you can get this blessing. We often think that the blessing that Jacob stole was really meant to be his, but I would argue that it wasn't. And actually the problem was, and it's why we need to understand the blessing that God has for us, is if we don't understand that, we can spend our lives pursuing the wrong blessing. Because when Jacob went into Isaac, his father, this is the blessing that was for Esau, as Isaac understood it. We read about it in Genesis chapter 27, verse 28 and 29. It says, may God give you of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. And cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. If you see the sort of essence of this blessing, when it says, may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, it's riches, material wealth, and possessions. And in verse 29, we see power and perhaps political influence, if you want to think about it that way. Now, put yourself in Jacob's shoes a minute. You're probably thinking, wow, if I get all of this, I could really do good things with this. You know? But he wasn't willing to wait on God. I wonder sometimes, does this give us a picture of the modern church? Where we've perhaps lost our identity a little bit, we've lost our way a little bit, where we sort of perhaps confused about what God's blessing is for us. And we can spend time and energy pursuing wealth and power and thinking how we could do great things for God if we have those things. If you don't think that's you, and that's great if it's not, but let me just ask you, have you ever lived under the kind of the thinking, oh, well, what if? Or if only. If only we had a bit more money, then we could invest a lot more in mission. If only we had... Can I be honest and say I see this a little bit in the Northern Ireland church as we lament lost influence in our society? Oh, if we only had that influence again, then maybe we could do many wonderful things. But you see, historically, the church has never done well with riches and power. And I would argue it was never meant to. Now, some of you are probably looking at me and think, okay, this, where are we going with all of this? Well, here's where we're going. I think Jacob, in focusing on the blessing that was meant for Esau, he missed the blessing that was really meant for him. And I probably about 6 months ago, I was reading this, and I was reading a particular commentary, and I thought, I have read these chapters dozens of times. This has never kind of grabbed me. But you see, in chapter 28, when Isaac is about to send Jacob away, he calls Jacob to him, knowing now that it is Jacob. And he says this, in chapter 28, we're told this, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite woman. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And it was these words that just grabbed me. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. You see, I believe this is the blessing that was always meant for Jacob. Not riches, not power, but God's blessing to multiply him and make him fruitful and to possess the land that was God's promise to Abraham and to his descendants. There was two aspects to this as well, to be fruitful and the land. And you see, only when we rest in God's promises and his true blessing for our lives can we effectively fulfill our calling, our mission as his people. You see, if you read on the life of Jacob, I don't think he fully got it at that point. And for the next 20 years, never mind not blessing the nations and all the families of the earth, Jacob wasn't really a blessing to his own family. If you read this story, it's a case study on dysfunctionality, problems with his uncle, with his parents, with his brother, with his wives, with his children. Just problem after problem. But when we understand God's blessing and God's promises to us, and understand our calling, which is our mission, our purpose as God's people, we start to learn that mission is not primarily what we do or what we achieve for God with all our riches and all our abilities and all our assets and all our whatever else. But it is primarily about, first of all, understanding our calling to be a blessing and to see God's blessing flowing through us to the nations. It is also about receiving God's enabling power and his equipping for his purposes, not for our nice ideas. You see, Esau may have had the political power, but Jacob's blessing was to possess the land that God had promised to Abraham and have that security and identity in him. And I would argue that involvement in mission is very much about the privilege of seeing God bring about the fulfillment. It's witnesses in that sense, not just what we say, but just seeing God work and be amazed. And so as a church today, let's not fight a losing battle trying to be Esau, trying to gain riches and power and thinking, well, if I had that, then we could really do. It is a temptation. And I'm sure there is a natural, natural thinking that, yes, if we had more finances, we could see more couples released to the mission field. But it's such a subtly dangerous way of thinking. I've come to that conclusion and I've seen it in my own life. You see, I think the right way of thinking is, God, raise up a new generation to serve you. And as God raises up people, it is all about trusting him to provide the resources for that. It's slightly different. Well, I don't want to leave you going home in a completely negative. I think Jacob did get it eventually. And again, we're going to jump on, and you can read this at home. But at the end of chapter 32, there is a well-known incident of Jacob. When he's about to face his brother, he's returning to the land. Remember the land that God had promised him that he would possess his descendants? But he's about to face his brother, who he's heard is coming to him with 400 men. And he's like at the end of himself. And there's an incident where Jacob wrestles with an angel, the angel of God. And if you remember the episode, this is they wrestled through the night. And, I lost my place here. It says in verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. But what did Jacob respond? No, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And I think at that moment, you see, at that moment, Jacob had riches. God had blessed him materially. I don't think that's what he was asking for. He said, bless me. Is it possible that at that moment, kind of the words came to him of his father that had spoken 20 years previously? Of understanding God's true blessing for him to be fruitful for God's purposes. And you see, the reason I say this is because at this episode, Jacob is given a new name, which in the Bible is always symbolic of a new nature. You see, Jacob had still been the old nature. He was still the old Jacob. But after that point, he became Israel. That's why we know them today as the children of Israel, not the children of Jacob, because God touched him that day. God truly blessed him. He got it. And how do I know that? Well, if you read on then, he does go and meet his brother. And again, I think possibly, and I'll be very careful here, but I think I had missed this partly because of the translation of the Bible I was used to reading. The New International Version kind of misses this. But when Jacob finally meets his brother, if you remember, he sends flocks and herds ahead and says, this is a kind of, and I'd always thought that in terms of, well, he's just trying to buy his brother off. I don't think it was quite that. Because when he meets his brother finally, he says this, and his brother says, look, I don't need this. He says, no, please. This is chapter 33, verse 10. He says, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. And it's this little phrase in verse 11, and this is like the literal translation. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. And thus he urged him, and he took it. It's that phrase, please accept my blessing. It's Jacob has got to this point where he understood that what he perceived as the blessing of riches and power, I don't need that anymore. Someone said to Esau, this is the blessing that I stole. I want to give it back. Why? Because God has dealt graciously with me. That's enough. So friends, my prayer for you today is that God will bless you richly. As individuals, as a church. I do not know or do not say that that will automatically translate into material blessing, health, wealth. That's a part. God can give all of those things. Sometimes he does. But that is not where I want you to get to. Can you today stayed with Jacob. God has dealt graciously with me. That's enough. I don't need anything else. Anything else beyond that is just a bonus, but that's enough. You see, when we pursue riches and power, you never have enough. You notice that? You ask a, someone has said once, you know, ask a rich man, what is true riches? And they said, always, it's a little bit more than what I have. It's never enough. But may God, who wants to bless us as his people, truly bless us that we can say, he has dealt graciously with me, and that is enough. And take hold of the blessing. But I believe the blessing for Jacob is the blessing that he has for us today, to make us fruitful. John chapter 15, we're going to read it in a few minutes, just a few verses, but John chapter 15, a wonderful chapter where God talks about blessing his people and making them fruitful. It's a sign of his blessing. And the security in him, symbolized in Jacob's day through the land, our secure identity in him. May we crave that blessing in our lives so that God can fulfill his purposes through us. And as we experience that, we can truly say, God has blessed me and it is enough. Let's just pray a minute before we're going to sing this great song. I'm sure you call it a hymn, There is a Redeemer. Let's just pray a minute. In response, Father, we come before you today and thank you that you are a God who blesses his children. And Lord, as we see throughout history, as you first called Abraham and through his descendants, and then even as we read earlier, as Paul would say to the church in Galatia, the blessing of Abraham is yours in Christ Jesus for the benefit of the Gentiles. Father, we crave that blessing today. Will you bless each of my brothers and sisters here, the families represented? Bless Carrickfergus Baptist as a church. Bless our association of churches. But Lord, we don't want bigger numbers or a higher profile or any sort of political influence. Help us to renounce those cravings. But Lord, what we do crave is that you would make us fruitful, that we would truly be a blessing to the nations, and not just in a vague sense of the nations, but to every family on earth who needs yet to hear the gospel. Help us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.